We got another 1 minute, huh? After that only we start. Tonight we got quite a bit of requests from people to invoke blessing. And Achan Achalo also wrote in because the father, age 76, is having lung cancer. Then he had a short request. So maybe remind me, not to end too late. Suyan suggested 10:20 we should end because quite a long one. I think involving 4 person. Achanachalo's dad on this because quite elderly already. So what he and the family had wanted is if it's time for the dad to maybe pass away or what, they want it to be as best as it can, means as painless as it can, and if possible quick and fast. So we will follow exactly what he wrote, then hopefully they can realize their good wishes. But according to him, his dad has been smoking for the past 40 years. Only the last 10 years he quit. So they have expected lung cancer to be one of the outcomes. So it really happened. Okay, 8:30. We can start. We will do the official puja. So you compose your mind. Develop the faith, the sadha, virya, then we pay respect, mindfully, then we start our puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sa sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Just relax yourself, then maintain some form of attention, or what they call attentiveness. Actually, when you're attentive without thought, you are aware. So attentiveness without thought is very important. Like you just silent and pay attention. So that itself is very near to sati, and you can really silent without thought, it is really sati. Then you listen attentively to develop understanding, it becomes heedfulness. Okay, so tonight I think most of us have been here before, so easy. I will just give some very brief instruction. I summarize all of the essential Dhamma so that you can recall to mind what they are. So this type of meditation, when you understand, is very simple, even though the word is like very high sounding, vipassana meditation, is actually to insight into characteristics of nature, of impermanent suffering state and non-self, so that you are no longer deluded by what this form and mind is all about. So when we have this ability to see this universal characteristic, then we realize that everything in this universe, not only our form and mind, they have these characteristics of impermanent, leading to what they call non-self and empty nature, because impermanent indicates that it is ever changing, evolving, moving, means it's in a continuous state of flux. It is never a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to and cling on to and say, this is me, this is I, this can be mine. There is no such thing in this universe. Even within the conditioned world and the unconditioned, everything is still anatta, empty. There is no such thing as an entity that you can hold on to and believe is you, or cling on to and say, this is me, this is I. The other characteristic is suffering, mental suffering. It comes about because the mind grabs and clings and gives meaning to all phenomena until it becomes like real. Because you cannot see the empty nature, you cannot see its characteristics of impermanent. So this part, when you penetrate through meditation, you will understand. Then to develop this insight into this universal characteristic, we need to train the mind until we are very mindful, until our mindfulness is very stable. Then through this stability of mindfulness, you will be able to see things clearly. Then when you are able to do that, you develop wisdom and understanding. The three turning wisdom, Suttamaya Panya, leading to Chintamaya Panya, and finally Bhavana Maya Panya, they are very important. And once the first two turning wisdom are developed, it will prepare you to receive the third turning. That's why during that time, any of the first, second or third turning, you can awaken. So the awakening or the insight into this characteristic can happen anytime when you are silent, quiet, fully aware, then you need some form of base, which we call initial wisdom. Once the initial wisdom is there, avijja, which is ignorant, become weakened. Then sankhara become less and less. That's why you have clarity of mind. You have more and more mindfulness. Then until when your wisdom is already quite established, the initial wisdom, and then you are ready to awaken. Then during that time, any time your mind can actually awaken and transform. Then you will go through the various stages of sainthood. And if your past life you have cultivated before, you can move very fast. And you can reach back to your previous level of cultivation quite fast. So all these are possible. So if you know the most important quality that we need to train while developing this meditation is sati or mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. We have already established a few skillful means to do it. From all the essential dhamma written on the whiteboard, you already know. Before you train the mind, if you are not aware of the hindrance of mind, it's very difficult to train this mind. But once the hindrance of mind is been understood, then you realize to overcome the five hindrances, you don't have to fight them. You only have to cultivate the five spiritual faculty, and then cultivation becomes easy. That's why our pre-puja, post-puja, all of the devotional practices and our cultivation, where we do every day, early morning when you wake up, at night before you sleep, and in between, together with the daily mindfulness and contemplation, they will be of great help. And it is very useful, because all this training will develop the spiritual faculty, the five spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya. Once this has been developed, your meditation becomes very easy. Technically, no need to train this mind. Straight away you can meditate. Because when Sadha Virya is very strong, Sati will be a natural process. Sati, which is mindfulness, if it's established, your meditation is very simple. Because you sit, the mind is straight away silent, aware. That one, if you have already trained, developed the training of the mind and established your daily mindfulness, then you can meditate anywhere, any place, anytime, very easily. Then throughout the day, you can maintain mindfulness, no problem. You will have little or no thought. You can do that. You are already very good. I will rejoice. But for most of you, if you still find it difficult to have this stability of mindfulness, then you need to train. So the mind sweeping method is a very important technique, skillful means to train your mind to decondition it from the heedless thinking, to just allow the mind to be true, aware, relax. So you start with the forehead, you feel, don't think, just aware. Then relax. Then you move it down. This training has two or three advantages. First, it trains your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it will stay there. You want it to be at the heart, it will stay there. Then you feel and relax. You don't think. And because of that, that deconditioning of the heedless thinking start to take effect. Then it will start to break what they call this habitual tendency of heedless thinking. Like the momentum of thinking, heedlessness. Every time you are aware or mindful, it stops. then it takes a while before that momentum come back. Then through wisdom, initially, the wisdom has not come in, so you need to train. But once the wisdom has come in, that training becomes very simple. So a mind sweeping method is only needed when you need to work on the deconditioning of the heedless thinking, maintain calm mind, then you combine with loving kindness or metta. This one will give rise to a very wholesome state of mind, full of love and metta. And this is the wholesome mind that can make you peaceful, happy, and the energy feel is very soothing. That's why it will lead to inner peace. Once inner peace is established, this positive metta energy will bring about inner well-being. Inner well-being will bring about improvement in immune system, your health, and all those things. Then the advantages of meditation will fall into place. You will have clarity of mind. This clarity of mind can allow you to train your mind to be heedful, to be aware. Then through that, wisdom can arise, understanding can arise. Once there is wisdom, a lot of problems can get resolved. All of your suffering can get resolved. Then after wisdom, your mind becomes different. That's why you can have this trained mind that is always aware, silent and peaceful within, and this mind can sleep very well. Then this mind with its clarity can actually help you in many ways, in your career, in your study, in whatever field that you want to use this mind to understand. So all these are the positive aspect of meditation, or they call positive benefits of meditation. So with this understanding, maybe I can allow you all to start your meditation. So after the mind sweeping method, for those who still need to train, you try to develop anapanasati, or mindfulness of whatever object of meditation that you are skillful at, that suits you. That object of meditation is only something that you need to make use of to anchor your mindfulness, so that you can be mindful of it all the time. And every time the mind wanders off, just bring it back to be aware of that in and out breath, anapanasati. If your object of meditation is rising and falling, you just silence your mind and aware. Just aware, like you aware of your forehead, you just aware around your abdomen area. Let the awareness and the phenomena move as one. Then if it's your dynamic hand movement, you do the same. Just the mind aware movement of the body and mind as one. That will develop sati. Then for those who use chanting, it's the same. You develop awareness and clarity of mind to chant. Chant until the mind and the chanting become one. Then you can also anchor it to your heart. Any vibration, any heartbeat that you can feel, you just silence everything and be with it. Allow the mind to be. That is sati. Then allow this mind to anchor itself there. Until most of the time you are there, then it becomes more and more stable, more and more stable. Then after a while, peace will arise, spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. Sometimes it develops into a form of rapture. Then as you continue to relax and allow it to be the awareness, the mindfulness, it will develop deep breathing, will make you very peaceful and very calm. Then sometimes this deep breathing can bring about absorption of mind, calmness of mind, until that calmness becomes more and more strong. then you can go into absorption if you want to. You can try it. You can play with it for a while, for those who are skillful. Then later you have to release all this absorption or calmness until normal awareness. Then you just silence your mind. Then if you want to anchor it to anapanasati or what, you can. Finally, it will drop to your heart. The heart is the best place to keep your meditation. End of the day, this is where they call it the seat of consciousness, the gateway to your nature. So if you can stay there and continue to relax and silence, that piti will develop into sukha. Sukha develop into tranquility or stillness, pasati, and then you goes into samadhi. Then after that, you just silence your mind, completely silent, just aware everything that is going on within your sense basis, arising the form and mind, conditioning the dependent origination. You will see them very clearly. All of the essential dhamma, you will witness them within your form and mind. This is how you develop understanding and wisdom. This is how vipassana come to be. Then later on, you have to use this trained mind to develop the daily mindfulness, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path in daily life. That is the real meditation. So the form of meditation is more of a training to develop the stability of mindfulness, stability of the spiritual faculty. Then you use it to live life, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to develop the stability of daily mindfulness, so that most of the time throughout the day you are aware and heedful, so that you are no longer heedless. So from a heedless way of living life, your meditation has transformed you into a heedful way. And this is what meditation is all about. So when you can do that, you will progress very fast. You will understand the Buddha Dharma very easily. Once the spiritual faculties fall into place, the Dharma keep on unfolding. So keep that in mind. No need to look for anything. Just silence your mind. Develop the Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya. Then Sati and Samadhi will do the work for you. Then after that, Dhamma will unfold, wisdom will arise. Then when your spiritual faculty become very stable and unshakable, enlightenment in the here and the now will definitely come by. Okay, now I leave you all to develop the meditation. In about 20 minutes time, I will ring the bell. still want to continue with the meditation, you can continue. But yourself enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. When you come out of meditation, try to develop awareness within. That's why I say you come out of meditation slowly, mindfully. Then maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness or mindfulness that you have developed. So that this state of mind that you have trained, you can use it to live life. It's very important. The main purpose and intent of both the daily mindfulness and the form of meditation is to develop this quality of mind that we call sati or mindfulness, then stabilize it and use it to live life and to develop the wisdom accumulating into what we call heedfulness. To be heedful is to be ever mindful, cultivating the wisdom or cultivating Noble Eightfold Path to develop the wisdom, or cultivating the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. And within the three turnings, there are so many things to cultivate. The first turning is listening to the Dhamma, reading. Nowadays we are more fortunate, there are textbook notes. You can listen to the recordings. So, hearing of the essential Dhamma or the Sutta can give rise to a type of understanding that we call Suttamaya Panya. And this is the first turning, wisdom. So, the studying of the doctrine or the teaching. So, first turning, you can develop this. Then after that, you go into the second turning. Second turning is to reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into all of the essential teachings that you have heard or read about, so that you can develop deeper understanding of the teaching of the essential Dhamma. It is only through constant silent reflection, contemplation, and inquiry that you can understand the Dhamma deeper. So this second, what they call turning wisdom, is very important, and it needs to be done very often. I benefited from the second turning during my early years of cultivation. I got a teacher who is very good. He reminded me not less than 6 times. Every time when I'm with him very close discussing the Dhamma, he always tell me this. We choose aware. Until the Dhamma is very, very clear. Then he also say we choose contemplate, reflect and inquire deep into all the Dhamma until we understand them very, very clearly. So contemplation is very important. And when you go for retreat, you silent your mind anywhere in the open, outside of the retreat place, where the environment, the setting, can be very conducive for contemplative wisdom to arise. Most of these ways, place, they have this setting or this condition available for you to develop the second turning wisdom. Especially in all those what they call well-established monasteries or temple. The forest tradition of Thailand also, many of these places are very conducive. Then you have some of this minor temple all over the world, especially China, even Japan, Korea, in various parts of the world. Nowadays, even they establish very beautiful monastery in Western country. I've been to Australia, New Zealand. This Mahayana temple, they are very nice. Set up by this, what they call, singing pastor. Singing is from this Fo Quang tradition. Fo Quang San, Fo Quang tradition. Dhammalai monastery. Dhammalai mountain monastery. So, the way they design this monastery, they give a lot of thought to it, and they are very good at what they call locating the monastery. Then the way they come up with the design, the way they develop, the perfection of the orientation of the various Buddha Rupa, together with the building and all those things, they actually did it very well, very meticulous. And when you are there, you can feel the energy is very good, the environment, the setting, everything very conducive. Then the nature there too. So all this can be a very good place to contemplate and develop the second tenet of wisdom. Even the place we have our retreat, Cameron Highland, the Mahayana temple, Prichang, those who remember, last year we went there twice, I think. One retreat conducted by me, the other one is Ajaya Chalo. All of this way place, where you can silence your mind, relax and be one with nature. The mind can just relax and open up. Then through this ability to be one with nature, the mind that is free, that is actually in a state of complete relaxed, silent inner awareness, can be with the moment to experience all of the beauty and wonders of nature. Then all of the contemplative Dhamma can arise. And within the silence, you can reflect, contemplate, inquire. And as you move mindfully, the Dhamma will unfold. Then sometimes phenomena can just trigger of understanding. There is a lot of possibility. And it can keep on happening. So cultivation is not just about sitting, walking. It is about daily mindfulness, daily contemplation, inquiry, reflection. Then after that, you have the third turning. The third turning is also useful. The third turning involves meditation. That's why the Buddha called it Bhavana Mayapanya. Bhavana is the meditative training or discipline. Panya is wisdom. Wisdom born of meditative training. This is where you cultivate your Noble Eightfold Path. You cultivate your four foundation of mindfulness. This is where daily mindfulness come in. And all of the four foundation of mindfulness practices and cultivation, they are all included in the third turning. And this third turning is very beautiful because it can bring about very penetrative insight. And wisdom born of third turning is always associated with enlightenment, very strong awakening. So remember, after you train your mind, you still have a lot of work to do. You still need to develop the daily mindfulness, the training of the mind to develop the three types of wisdom born of the three turnings. And within this three turning, all of the meditation is there. You have your learning of the doctrine, then the cultivation of it, then the friction of it. All these three, which we call Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda, is all on the board there. Yeah? And if you can do that very fast, you will awaken. Yeah? So these practices of cultivation or training, if you are serious and you are very hardworking, the result can be very fast and it can really happen, especially this life where the condition is very conducive. Okay, now we finish the first part, almost 9:30. So now I will go into the second session, reporting of meditation, and Q&A, question and answer. So now I open it up to the floor. Anybody who wants to report their meditation, you can then follow by Q&A. Today no written question, sorry. Anybody? Make full use of this condition. Don't worry about your question, like I always say. Just whatever that you want to understand, you just ask, no problem. It's better you report your meditation, because through this reporting, actually, I can guide you better, because I will know where you go wrong. Like the other session, the 12th of September, the transcript has progressed quite well. We have actually finished off more than half. We are only left with, I think, the first part. All in maybe about minus the 50 minutes of meditation, maybe about 40 minutes. So I have started today. Then by the time I finish, I think we should be able to get the draft out. Then after that, we will do the proofreading. Then hopefully I can get Cindy to help out in the time setting. Anybody who is good at time setting, to put that transcript into documentation form. Anybody who is good, you let Sui Ano me know. Then you help out. Otherwise we have to trouble Cindy again. Last time she did for us, but that time she was working, that's why she has all the things with her. Now I don't know. She has been in Thailand for so many years. Okay, anybody? Quick. Wow, everybody expert already, no questions. Don't worry, just or ask question at least. You got nothing to report. Yes. Yes. Okay. I think your question is. Okay. No, you see, like I always say, you don't just like make it into like everybody ask for all this. Actually, there's a purpose. Then that purpose, if it's understood, it can be very potent and very powerful, and it can bring about a lot of result, good result. But you cannot just your friend you want to do it for, if you want, you want to do it. No, it's not like that. I always say, even before you bring somebody to see me, you make sure that person wants to come on. You better make sure that person wants that help, that blessing, so on. You don't just, oh, my friend, I must help him. Then it become one. You are doing without that person's consent or knowledge. And sometimes negative tendency can arise on us. if one of their family members is a Christian or what, it can lead to misunderstanding as well. That's why don't be too eager to do all this. Like the Buddha said, they are born of their karma, heir to their karma, conditioned and supported by their karma. They are what they are because of their karma. But we do because there is condition to do, understand? Like our loved ones, if there is condition to help, then we have this sincerity. Then we determine to help. And then you do it, understand? Then if you are part of the Kayanamita group, you can come and request, understand? Yeah. Then if it's a very close friend too, very sincere, somebody whom you think deserves some of this help because he or she has been kind, has goodness. So these are the conditions that will enable them to receive, understand? Then all this transformation, merit, sharing of merit, and the evocation of merits can be very potent and very powerful, and it can bring about good results. But there is no Dhamma root, no condition. You just want to help. It's very difficult, understand? And for us, it's not to say we want to do or we don't want to do. For me, if there is condition, I will do. But if that thing is not sincere, even if I do, not much help, understand? It doesn't bring about much benefit. That's why Suyang's question is, if under such circumstances, our sharing and transformation, will it have any effect? Or how does it benefit the person? Now that is the answer, understand? That's why everything is about condition, cause and effect. That's why if you don't develop this, what they call karmic nature, to receive all this is not easy, understand? Because the nature's law have to function. You reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. And you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So you have goodness, you have been helping people, you have had all this generosity, and you have made certain type of aspiration before, then this condition can bring about favorable condition for people to help you when it's time for you to receive them. When there is time for you to ask for it or whatever. So we have to understand all this. Otherwise we become gullible. Otherwise you just say, hey, you got problem. You go to Suyan, Brother Teo, they do for you, help you. It's not like that, understand? Everything must have its condition behind. And the condition you will know. That's why those that come very sincere, very powerful, actually I know already on that it will work on her. Because earlier on there were a few very sincere on her. But later on it become like somebody die also you want to do for them. Understand? Then it become what? That is not compassion at all. That is, you think you want to do good, you know. Unless you are very different, you felt something, understand? That you have to do something because you felt this person has affinity with you. You have to do something. Yeah. Like the lady who actually, I don't know whether it's mother or what, I don't know, the boyfriend, you remember? Just recently, the 15 years old one. It was included here. So a lot of these things, as a general sharing and transfer merit, it can be done. It's just like we share merits to all beings, understand? Whomsoever will have the condition to receive them, then if they are somehow related, departed relative, they will receive, understand? So all these are more general. But like Achalo's father, dad, then last time a few of your Kayanamita, your own parent, your own uncle or what, somebody very close to you, they want to do something for them. That is very good. that one is very beautiful, very meaningful, and then when you invoke, it can come about. But if you only hear about it, or your friend somewhere, then you want to help. Wow, this one is a very big plane. Long time I haven't heard such a heavy load plane passing by Subang. During the early days, yes, when the airport was here, I remember, wow, every how many minutes it take off. That's why that time the property price dropped. Then later on they shift the airport, wow, all the property price went up. So that understanding is very important. Don't be too eager to do good. Don't be what they call, like everything also want to help. You must have understanding. That's why when you have understanding, you will understand when to do, what are the conditions behind for you to do. You don't just do because you want to do good, and so, then you will get into a lot of trouble. Because the whole world is full of suffering everywhere. How many can you help? It's not to do good, and so, when there is condition to manifest, then you manifest. And when there is no condition, you just let things be. Thing is just the way it is. They have their karma. They are born or their karma, heads to their karma, conditioned and supported by their karma. And they are what they are because of their karma. Sometimes they have to go through this suffering to understand suffering, to understand life. So a lot of this understanding can make you develop the wisdom to accord and flow so that you will not get yourself entangled with all this, what they call desire or craving to do good. Any other questions? That one later on we will try to do. But those that are very genuine, we will do it with a lot of what they call understanding. Then it can have its effect. That's why Ajahn Lo understand and he know. And he every time wrote to us and request us to do all this, like during the early years and early days. Whenever he wants something, he will write to us. Then he realized after we do, the thing really becomes so much better, like the Bodhi tree and all those things. And he can see the result, and he can feel it, that it is something that is beautiful happening. So that's why he made the appropriate request. So all these are possible because it invoked the understanding of the nature's law. Then we invoke the power of merits. It will bring about the appropriate result. But it needs condition for it to connect and manifest. Okay, any more questions? Don't have question. We still got quite a bit of time. What topic you all want to understand? Okay, maybe I will read to you all the what they call seminar in Thailand, because Sui An reminded me of my camera. So I went in and downloaded that two picture that you all didn't have. The two photos that you all didn't have. The 20th Sunday lunch. Then when I downloaded that, I saw all the other pictures that I haven't downloaded. One of them is the Bangkok trip. Then it gave me a lot of joy when I saw those photographs. Then also I think it reminds me of that seminar, international seminar at the World Buddhist University. I delivered a talk there actually, and the talk was very good. Then there is a note that there are a few more copies left. Maybe since you got no question, I will share this with you all. I haven't really shared this. I intend to use one of the SJPA talk, Sunday talk, to deliver this. Anyway, I will read to you all first. This is on the Dhamma. And the title of the seminar is Life Management with Meditation, Experiences and Success of the Speaker Who Speaks. So it was held at the World Buddhist University together with the World Fellowship of Buddhists and the Pipalivarana Nivanaran Mindfulness Center. So I rephrase the heading a little bit. I put my title as Success in Life via Meditation Following the Dhamma Way by a Malaysian speaker. So I will just read to you, then we discuss it. Opening statement and introduction to topic. Dear Mr. President, distinguished guests, fellow honorable panel speaker, seminar participants, ladies and gentlemen. A very good afternoon to all. It is indeed an honor to be given the opportunity to share my humble little experience on success in life management via meditation with you all on such an appropriate occasion such as today's international seminar. Today's seminar topic is about experiences and success in life management via benefits of meditation, which we are doing now, following the Dhamma Way. And this is a very important topic for us all to understand if we want to realize our highest human potential. See, you come here to meditate, it can bring about such great benefit to realize the highest human potential. Such a seminar can be of great benefits for us all to develop the understanding of life so that we can all cope with the great intricacies and challenges of life that are much needed nowadays, especially so in our today's modern society, where everything is moving at such a fast pace and life can be very stressful, hectic, demanding, and at times highly competitive and provocative, and seemingly harsh. Human suffering are very real, and is happening almost everywhere, even to youngsters nowadays. True or not? So for us who have gone through life, I think this is a very important topic, isn't it? I need my spec, sorry, otherwise my eye. Understanding life is meaning and purpose following the Dhamma Way. This one you listen, it will help you a lot. To be successful in life management, we need to understand what is life. True or not? You want to manage your life? Well, you must understand what is life. So what is life to you? What is life to you? Gong gong tua gong gong jia gong gong si. Suwano's famous saying, everything also deluded one. Because you don't understand life, you only survive or existed through life, you never leave. Understand? So the question is, to be successful in life management, we need to understand what is life. Otherwise, we do not know how to live life. True or not? As Buddhists, we are indeed very fortunate and blessed because of the great wisdom and enlightenment of Lord Buddha. The Buddha is so unique and wise that he was able to summarize to us all of the understanding of life, both the mundane and supramundane aspect, into just four noble truths, which are the essence of his great teaching. They are called noble truth or Aryan truth because they are truth that can make you noble ones or enlightened one if you can understand them. Noble ones and enlightened ones are very noble in all aspects of their life. They are very noble in their understanding of life, for they have right views with regards to the law that governs all of life and existence. They are also very noble in the way they conduct themselves via their right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. They are incapable of negativities. These four noble truths are so special and unique because understanding them can make such a big difference to our life. It's just like we had understood the secret of life, and because of that, we will know how to truly live the noble life of great love, great peace, joy, happiness, very meaningfully. The Buddha realized that there are certain rather harsh realities in life that can make living being really miserable, especially the realities of birth and death, leading to the whole mess of suffering. He said there is a first noble truth of suffering that explains clearly to us the prevalence of suffering in this world, caused by the eight realities of life and existence, that all living beings, if they live long enough, will have to confront while going through life. So this eight reality, I think we have heard before. I will just run through it quickly. Irrespective of your wealth, status, and materialistic success in life, one will still suffer if one had not developed the requisite spiritual understanding or wisdom before confronting them. These eight realities are birth, old age, sickness, and death. They can bring about suffering. Separation from loved one and one's possession, like your wealth, your property, your possession, and those things that you hold on to dearly. To be with people whom you don't like can also bring about suffering. Not able to get what one desires, or when things don't go your way, and when your expectations in life are not met, can also bring about suffering. And finally, the Buddha said, in short, the five aggregates of grasping, born of self-delusion or sakayadity, is suffering or dukkha. When one confronts these realities without the requisite wisdom, then one will be afflicted and suffering like sorrow, lamentation, grief, fear, worry, anxiety, etc., leading to depression, will be the end result. In modern days terminology, we call this suffering by a different name. We call them the problems of life. When you relate them as problems of life, people understand you better. Like health problem. You say old age sickness, people don't understand. You say health problem, a lot of people understand. Like cancer, heart attack, HIV, stroke, kidney failure, etc. Sudden death due to accident, traumatic disease, nature's disaster like tsunami, earthquake, flood, building collapse, etc. Career-related stress and sexual harassment problem. Financial problem. Relationship problem means leading to divorce, forced separation, and other things. Social and crime related problems. The younger generation can relate to this terminology better. Then, according to Lord Buddha, there is this second noble truth that explains to us clearly the cause behind all this suffering. The Buddha said, it is namely craving, born of our self-delusion or sakayadity. When we have understood what suffering is and the cause behind the arising, we will know how to retrospectively manage our life better. But the Buddha did not stop there, for he then proceeded to tell us that suffering need not be, because there is a third noble truth that explained to us clearly about the possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now, leading to the cessation of all suffering, and this is most reassuring. The Buddha not only tells us that enlightenment is possible, but he even explained to us clearly how it can be done. we are cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path, which he expounded under the Fourth Noble Truth. He said there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If cultivated, will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the ultimate aim of all Buddhist cultivation. Which means this Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation and solution to all of our life problems. So there is a way to free and liberate our mind from all suffering. This is what most of us would be very interested in. So that's why I always stress to you, the final meditation is still heedfulness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, nothing else. Whatever you do in the name of meditation, if you cannot relate back to Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Understand? Without Noble Eightfold Path, it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. With this Dhamma understanding, we need not have to worry about life anymore. We can just live life to the fullest. We are wisdom born of the Dhamma cultivation and the meditation as taught by Lord Buddha. We can then experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment. We are a serene mind in heedfulness. I was indeed very blessed and lucky because this Buddhist meditation with its great benefit has helped me so much, not only in my study but later on in my career and daily life too. The benefits of this style of meditation are many. The first obvious benefit is inner peace, leading to inner well-being of body and mind. Nowadays, peace is very difficult to come by for most people, unless they know how to train their mind. So in time of suffering like fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, etc., born of health and other life-related issues or problems, this meditative inner peace leading to inner well-being can really help to provide immediate temporary relief to their mental suffering. This inner peace leading to the inner well-being is a very positive calmness energy that can help boost their immune system as opposed to the rather negative energy of fear, worry, anxiety, and sadness. The question that is frequently asked is, why are most human beings not peaceful most of the time? Why are they not able to meditate to develop the meditative mind of inner peace, leading to inner well-being? Yeah, you know why or not? Yeah, why? Until now you still don't know. Yeah? After so many sessions, why are you not peaceful? He does my due to what? I read the answer, every day, Thursday, I talk about it. According to Lord Buddha, it is because of the five mental hindrance. Understand? Pancha Nivaranas, namely sensual desire, you will stop and topple, restlessness of mind and doubt. And to overcome them, the Buddha said we need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty or Pancha Indriyas. Of Saddha, confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, we are understanding how special he is and how wonderful his teaching is. Then Virya, which is the spiritual zeal or tenacity to follow his teaching. Then the third one is Sati or mindfulness or awareness, followed by Samadhi, collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. And finally, wisdom, the fifth spiritual faculties, wisdom born of direct seeing. This is where we start our meditation, cultivating the five spiritual faculty to prepare our mind to receive his great teaching. Also the Buddha's exhortation before his parinibbana to all his disciples. To strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless, that is, apamadena sampadeta. This is followed by Dhammapada verse 21 that states, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. Which also stress on the importance of training the mind to be heedful, which is to be ever mindful and constantly meditative, following Dhammapada verse 23. That is precisely the reason why Buddhist meditation is also termed mindfulness or heedfulness meditation, referring to the four foundations of mindfulness, namely Kaya, Vedana, Citta and Dhammanupassana. First, it trains the mind to be silent with inner awareness so that it can be mindful from moment to moment in daily life to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path leading to heedfulness that is needed to understand life. This mindfulness and heedfulness will allow you to see clearly how your five aggregate of form and mind arise in you, how thoughts and feelings arise in you with every moment of sense experience or sense to consciousness, and how they condition each other. That is, how your thought condition your feeling, then feeling condition your emotion or craving due to your wrong view or wrong thought, to grasp and cling onto the external phenomenal world created by your aggregates of mind. This is heedless living, leading to all the suffering following Dhammapada verse 1. Whereas the heedful silent mind with inner awareness will bring about inner peace and inner well-being of body and mind, as opposed to a heedless mind that is full of thoughts, fear, worry, anxiety, conditioned by the hindrance of mind, leading to the agitated and restless mind that is never peaceful. With this inner awareness, inner peace and inner well-being, there is clarity of mind that can enable us to see things as they are, leading to penetrative insight and wisdom needed for us to understand, to truly understand life. This meditative wisdom can also lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now, thereby enabling us to live the noble life that is free of all mental suffering and misery. Once mind is liberated and no longer deluded, then life takes a turn and becomes not only very meaningful, but also very wonderful and beautiful indeed. One can then experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment with full clarity of mind to truly live life to the fullest. So you can do that. It's very beautiful, isn't it? So why not you put in the diligence? Why wait to suffer so long? This is heedful living, following Dhammapada verse 2, as opposed to heedless living that leads to all the suffering and misery in life, following Dhammapada verse 1. Suffering are all mind-made, the Buddha said. If mind does not deludedly cling to the five aggregate of form and mind as the me and the I and the mind, then there is no more suffering. Clarity of mind can also allow us to make better decisions in life, enabling us to resolve issues or problems wisely and amicably. One can also concentrate and study better and have good and easy sleep. No more problem with insomnia and sleep-related issue. It can also allow us to plan and do work more efficiently, thereby helping us in our career life. With all these benefits, we can really be a blessing to all. Our daily life will be very different because the mind is always heedful and peaceful. This will bring us to the understanding of another very important aspect of living life. Now we talk about living life. Importance of mindfulness or present moment awareness. As we all understand, life can be correlated to existence. To live life is to go through existence, and existence is time-related. The whole spectrum of time can be defined and divided into the three periods of past, present, and future. Of these three, we should inquire deep into it and find out for ourselves which is the reality. Obviously, the past is already gone, so no more reality. Similarly, future yet to come, so also not a reality. Hence, only the present moment, which is the highest in life, is the only reality within existence. This is also the reason why people nowadays emphasize a lot on the power of now. Even Eckhart Tolle wrote a book on it, and it has become one of the bestsellers for many years. Therefore, the most important question about life that we all need to inquire deep into is, moment to moment life passes by, and this is the only reality. What are you doing within each and every of this moment? If you don't inquire into this, you cannot understand life. You cannot live life. How many of you have done it? Hey, serious. you want to understand life, you never even reflect and contemplate. Remember, the Buddha always tell the bhikkhu, be heedful and be vigilant. Because if you are not heedful, then you are as if dead, following Dhammapada verse 21. This is spiritually dead, understand? Our mind and our thought move so fast with every moment of sense or experience. And if we are not mindful and heedful within the moment, then how can we cope with life? Most of us may know that the moment is the only reality and very important. But the question is, are we mindful of the moment? Understand? Because you are constantly heedless. The moment never exists for you, understand? You are always lost in thought, heedless. The problem with the world today is most human beings are heedless. And they are too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. You check whether this is what you do or not. So much so they totally miss out on life. For they never really live. They only existed through life. That is, they are conscious of life. But they are not mindfully living life. Their mind is always preoccupied with the thinking and the thoughts, which will continue to delude them to cling on to the phenomenal world as very real. Their thoughts will project into the future to arise the fear, worry, anxiety, hence creating a false reality for you to cling on to. Likewise, the mind will recall the hurtful or unhappy past to remind you of your scars or memory, hence triggering of the sorrow and lamentation of your unhappy past again. Not able to see the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, or empty nature. They will continue to hold and cling, and this is the cause of all their suffering and life problem. Why can't they just silence their mind in heedfulness to be with the moment, to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life? Just like the Zen saying, drinking a cup of Chinese tea is a Zen or meditation, because within that moment, there is just a pure awareness of the reality in the here and the now. And there is no thought, so no fear, no worry, no anxiety or whatsoever, but just a silent mind in peaceful moment and stillness to live and experience all of the wonderful moments with clarity of mind and body instead of worrying about life. Why do you need to worry about life? Because of fear. Fear born of delusion. Even if you worry, you are not going to solve your problem. Understand? Worrying will not solve your problem. It will instead create more thinking, leading to more fear and restlessness of mind. And as long as you are not mindful, this heedless thinking will continue to create more delusion in you. Because you do not have the wise attention or yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience. That is precisely the reason why we need to train our mind to be heedful, so that it is continuously mindful, continuously meditative, and ever mindful to insight into truth, which is everywhere. Truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Truth or the characteristics of nature is everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Even though the present moment is the highest in life, but in order to transcend life, which is to transcend birth and death, we need to transcend even the present moment to realize the timeless Dhamma or Akaliko, which is beyond thought and beyond time. This is the ultimate goal of all Buddhist meditation. So you know what is this timeless Dhamma? This is the realization of Nibbana. When your form and mind cease, when there is no more arising of consciousness or thought, not death at all, while you are still alive, the mind ceases. Understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence. To be successful in life management, we need to understand another very important aspect of life. That is the law that governs life and existence. According to Lord Buddha, this universe of ours is very unique. First, there is nature, and then there are nature's law that governs all of life and existence within this great universe of ours. He called it the Pancha Niyamas, or five universal order of nature. The first two laws are Uddu Niyama and Bija Niyama. They are nature's physical law and nature's biological order, and they are scientific laws, whereas the other three are spiritual law, namely Karma Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. It was via clearly understanding these two great scientific laws, Uddu Niyama and Bija Niyama, that the scientists are able to progress so fast in the field of science and technology, to become so advanced today. Nature's physical law governs the behavior of all nature's physical things. They refer to the law of physics and chemistry, etc., that the scientists have developed. But Bija Niyama is nature's biological order that governs the behavior of all organic and biological things within the field of biology, genetic engineering, etc. Like our human body, the plant, animal, fishes, etc., they are governed by this law. So similarly, we are clearly understanding the other three great spiritual laws, Karma Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. The Buddha was able to excel himself in the spiritual field, to understand life so clearly and so completely, thus becoming the Sammasambuddha, or the fully enlightened one. It was through his perfection of this understanding of the three great spiritual laws that enables him to proclaim the Dhamma that he had taught us. Take for example the first spiritual law of karma as the first right view to understand life. So in the five daily contemplation as taught by Lord Buddha, the Buddha said, we must contemplate daily the following, that this body of ours is of the nature to decay and grow old, for he has not gone beyond old age and decay. That this body of ours is of the nature to be sick, to be diseased, for he has not gone beyond disease and sickness. That this body of ours is of the nature to die, for he has not gone beyond death. All that is mine, beloved and pleasing, will change and vanish, following nature's condition, or the law of impermanence. Then we are all born of our karma, head of our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So this five daily contemplation will bring about a lot of contemplative wisdom, the Buddha actually advise the monk and all the cultivators to reflect on it daily. The first four contemplation allow us to develop contemplative wisdom to deal with most of the first noble truth realities of life and existence, whereas the fifth contemplation deals with this right view with regards to the law of karma. So karma, which is moral causation, is most important. For we are born of it, had to it, conditioned and supported by it, and we are what we are because of it. So what must we do? We must take care of karma, right? How do we do that? We must train our mind to be ever mindful and heedful via meditation to enable us to see all of our mental intention or chitta behind all of our action, speech and thought process, thereby enabling us to avoid all evil, cultivate good, and purify the mind via meditation, to develop the requisite wisdom so as not to be deluded anymore. And these are precisely the advice of our Buddha, following the famous Dhammapada verse 183. All evil is to be avoided, cultivate goodness and wholesomeness, then purify your mind. How do we avoid all evil? The Buddha recommends keeping the minimum 5 precepts, because people who violate the precepts are evil people, with the 3 evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. How to cultivate goodness and blessing? The Buddha recommends cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path factors of right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right living, or right livelihood, etc. So this is how the Buddha's subsequent teaching comes about. And through this understanding, One will like understand the secret of life, thus enabling one to truly live life meaningfully. Then there is also Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 that talks about happiness and suffering in life. This can be elaborated upon if time permits. Then we have Chitta Niyama, nature's law that governs the working of mind. Under this second spiritual law of nature, the Buddha taught us Paticca Samuppada, or the law of dependent origination, or dwelling. The Buddha said everything that arises is all dependent originating, and that there is no such thing as a permanent unchanging entity or a soul or an atta that is responsible for all thinking, seeing, hearing, etc. For in the seeing, according to the Buddha, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see. And all of phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they are all conditioned arising and causal phenomena, following nature's law. And because of that, they are all impermanent. For dependent on condition, they arise and will continue to exist if the supporting conditions are there. But they will cease to be once any of the conditions that supported their arising cease to be. And because they are impermanent, following law, nature's law, you cannot want things your way, otherwise you suffer. And because they are impermanent, it is not a permanent unchanging entity that we can hold on to and cling on to as the I and the me, hence anatta or empty nature, non-self nature of this so-called human being or five aggregates of form and mind of ours. If we cling and hold on to them, then it is self-delusion or sakayaditi, wrong view. The third spiritual law is Dhamma Niyama, which are the essential dhammas or truth that the Buddha had taught us. And the most important of them all is the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of his teaching. And we had already covered this early on. And then the final part is meaning and purpose of life. Once we have understood the nature's law that governs life and existence, then we will know how to prepare ourselves to live our life meaningfully. Without this understanding, we cannot contemplate its true meaning and purpose. To different people, life has different meaning and purpose. Hence, it varies from person to person. But as a Buddhist, we are indeed much more fortunate because the Buddha was able to explain to us the secret of life via his enlightenment. The other reason being they don't quite understand life like us because they don't have the Four Noble Truth understanding. So for someone who is quite poor, the meaning of life or the meaning and purpose of life is just the 3 meals of food and shelter over their head, following Maslow's need theory or needs hierarchy. But for us Buddhists, we will go deeper into life to pursue the sole purpose of liberation from birth and death, or enlightenment in the here and the now, so that all of suffering can cease, leading to the noble life of a noble one. Because we understand the danger of delusion and ignorance leading to heedlessness. So this part is very important. There are 2 very important aspects of life. First, there is the mundane or materialistic aspect within our existential and conditioned world, followed by the supramundane or spiritual aspect of life that can be realized only after gaining enlightenment. Most people are only concerned with the mundane aspect of life because to them, this is more important, not knowing that without the spiritual understanding, life is still incomplete and suffering can still arise despite the materialistic wealth and success. This was clearly explained by Lord Buddha in his proclamation of the First Noble Truth, where he talked about the 8 universal realities of life and existence that can lead to suffering and misery if one were to confront them without the requisite wisdom. This was also precisely the reason why the Buddha to be then left the palace in search for truth, to liberate himself from the 3 signs of old age, sickness and death that he saw prior to his renunciation. Materialistic success within the mundane life normally refers to academic success when you are young, career success when you come out to work, then financial freedom to make us feel secure in life. Then, of course, you look forward to early retirement to do the things that you want to do or you like to do. Then the last one is having an understanding family unit, leading to relationship success. The first four type of successes can be realized by most people who are determined and hardworking, but the fifth one is more difficult to achieve because it needs some form of wisdom and understanding. Let us say you are able to achieve all of the above materialistic success, but is your life really complete and are you really happy and safe? What happens when you are confronted with the first noble truth realities of life and existence? The Buddha said when you confront them without the requisite wisdom, you will be afflicted and suffering will be the result, as explained earlier. Hence, one still needs to cultivate the requisite spiritual understanding to complement one's life. Otherwise, this first noble truth life reality can still afflict you. And then this is the conclusion. My present life in this world was indeed rather blessed, for I not only excelled in my academic field, I also reached the pinnacle of my civil engineering career life. I was able to achieve my financial freedom quite early too, and this had enabled me to retire officially from my engineering career life 12 plus years ago at the age of 47 to do the things that I love to do, like sharing the Dhamma and helping people. I was also blessed with a very good family unit with a lot of love and understanding among ourselves. My relationship with all my loved ones, friends and colleagues are generally very cordial and good too. Last but not least, I was also blessed with a fairly good past that had enabled me to have the requisite spiritual understanding to complement my materialistic success in life. Over the last 20 plus years since 1989, I was able to make use of my spiritual understanding and my own personal success in life management to help many people who had affinity with this nature of mine to cope with their life's problem. With this, I will end my today's talk. And thank you so much for your patient and kind attention. That's all. So I hope you all can benefit from this so-called sharing. This is something I feel as a human being. You must have the understanding. Otherwise, it's not easy to cope with life. It's not easy to manage your life. Okay, exactly 10:21. We got just enough time to do sharing. Okay, so now I will read to you Achana Chalo's letter. Then we can. What is it? Meant to be. From Achana Chalo to Joyce. Lim. Then, my name also there. And one more, who is it? Obviously. Achan's message was this. It looks like my father has been diagnosed with lung cancer. This is not so surprising as he did smoke a pack of cigarettes a day for 40 years, gave up for last 10 years. Initial biopsies suggest that it has not yet spread and that it may be operable. Now it is the size of an Aussie 50 cents piece. I'm having 2 weeks retreat with more intense practice and less duty to focus on prayer for him. If you and your various group could add your good wishes, prayer, good energy, I would appreciate this very much. Let us all make the dedication that the outcome of this illness might be whatever is best for the father. how to pronounce, Melton, Hanson, age 76, lives in Sunshine Coast in Queensland, Australia. In some respect, I would prefer for my parent to die fairly quickly and peacefully when the time is right, in inverted commas, rather than become more and more fragile, frail and weak. This is their wish too. So may we all make the wish that Mel Hanson be well and happy and peaceful, and that he may die in the most timely and auspicious manner. In fact, let us all wish this for ourselves and all beings too, but especially for Ajahn Ajahlo's dad. Thank you for your help with this. So this is the message from Ajahn. So we will do our part. Let us all now recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have done through our almost 2 hours of meditation, sharing, development of wholesomeness through all the puja, reverential salutation, renewal of 5 precepts, rejoicing and all those things. Listening to Dhamma, straightening your view, then radiating metta and all those things. Then you meditate. All these are meritorious action. We will rejoice together. We say sadhu 3 times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then by the power of all this wholesomeness and rejoicing, may it arise the causes and conditions for Ajahn Ajahlo's good wishes to be fulfilled. I will read his wish for his father. So this is what we will wish for. So Ajahn's wish is, so may we all make the wish that Mel Hanson wishes Ajahn's dad be well and happy and peaceful, and that he may pass away in the most timely and auspicious way. The other one is not so important. So let us have a minute of silence. Then you can radiate metta to him. He is Mel Hanson, staying in Queensland, Australia, age 76, Ajahn's dad. So you visualize Ajahn, then you radiate metta to his dad. After about a minute, I will ring the bell. Okay, we can start now. Okay, thank you so much for helping Ajahn. The next one is metta to Tracy Lim. I think she is one of our cultivator, who said, according to Suyang, on the chair at the back. Because I think her back is not... I know recently he has high fever for about a week already. So we try to send some metta to her too. So there is also this lady, Ong Suilian. This one is, I think, 60 years old, a pharmacist with leukemia, doing stem cell treatment, I think, in Singapore, having a lot of pain. I was told this is one of the Kayanamita's wives, should be a good friend or what, I also not very sure. But whatever it is, we were still radiate metta, because this is what they want. And together with the last one is Elaine Tan, is it? Or Elaine Tan, the 11-year-old girl that we did last two Thursday. She has undergone chemo for leukemia, completed 11 days of chemo, lot of pain, vomit, and start to lose hair, lost a lot of weight too. These are the side effects, quite common. So okay, just like before, we recall to mind all of our wholesomeness, all of our merits and rejoicing. Then maybe invoke the power of these merits, by the power of all these merits and wholesomeness that we have cultivated through our 2 hours of sharing and meditation. May it arise the causes and condition for all of these people to recover to good health as soon as possible. May they have love, may they have peace, and may they have joy deep within their hearts. May Tracy's fever be reduced and subsequently or finally return to normal, so that she can regain back her good health. Then as far as Elaine Tan and Ong Suilian, may they have the courage to actually fight on so that they can recover from their sickness and disease. They are actually facing very challenging, first, noble truth reality, that is disease and sickness. And this one is leukemia. Both are leukemia. And leukemia, as far as I know, not easy to deal. But let us play our role. Give them all the best we can to evoke the power of merit to help them in whatever way possible. Then we silence our mind for 2 minutes to radiate metta to all 3 of them. So you can start now. do the final sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then your blessing from the nation, then you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata Chirbumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Ukasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata cha mehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one and those who can receive them. Idam menya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idam menya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idam menya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyateyo. Let these merits accrue to departed ones and those who can receive them. And may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca vitto bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now we will invoke the aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawat nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we now follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end. Oh, they're on the bus wheel. Anybody know her or not? Because I don't know her, really. We can share merits. But just now, the general merit, like I said, is for all beings who can receive them. I even include those who can receive them. So that one will cover for her too. But whatever it is, we will still incorporate this. Because there is a message here. Transfer merit to Hung Yuk Tim, the 15 years old girl that they put the word murdered. I don't know whether it was murdered or what. Murder must have intention in it. If it's not intentionally, it's culpable homicide, it's not murder, understand? So we cannot conclude there is murder. But whatever it is, if there is condition for her to receive, she will receive. So whatever merits that we have cultivated and invoked, that we have shared and retained, it will include sharing and transferring these merits to this younger Yuk Tim, 15-year-old lady, who according to the news report, I think passed away about 1 or 2 days back. Okay, so we will just read it metta to her, maybe 10 seconds. In whatever rhyme or existence she may be, may she be well and happy always, and may the blessings of the Triple Gem to be with her if possible. May the merits that can be transferred be received by her. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay your respect. Because that 3,005 come from the $35 that I pledged to pay for the dinner. Alan, sorry, yes.
Only those people in form coming.